escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Right now, the drive is live.
That's right, the drive is live. It's a very fair take as well on the wire. Someone texts in, Ron has never seen The Matrix. Listen, guys, I am not the fantasy stuff or anything close to it. Just not
sci-fi.
Matrix. I kid you not. I have not seen any Matrix, any John Wick, any Harry Potter, any Lord of the Rings, in any of those things. None of them. I was just telling Colin, who
isn't
was in
Harry
for
Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings, same thing.
No, Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter are two different things. Craig, I'm about
yes.
to say yes.
Totally different things.
There you go. There you go.
Like I was telling, I'm not even big into like DC or Marvel. Now I've seen some of those, but I'm not into that. But no, man, I just nope. It don't. Now I know. Will Smith made a really dumb decision. Will Smith turned down The Matrix. He was supposed to be Keanu Reeves' character in that, and he turned it down to do Wild Wild West, which just absolutely bombed. But that's about as much as I know about The Matrix. Not into those films. They don't do it for me. Not a step for me.
I'm not a big sci-fi guy either. Now I've given certain things a chance, but and ended up liking it. But I'm typically not drawn to it. What's the one show that I told you that I started and stopped and then started again and fell in love with it? The one about the different families in the different areas, the regions, lived in castles way back in the day.
Oh, you did HBO. Oh God! What is that? John Snow.
John Snow is one of the main.
Yeah.
Characters.
What's the name
what's
of the
name
show?
Of it?
It's Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. Yeah.
So Game of Thrones was one that I ended up circling back to because of all the hype and gave it a chance. I literally watched it the first time until they were in the woods and all of a sudden everything started dying. Just ran like start. I can't remember exactly how it all happened, but I was like, "Get me the hell out of here!" And then I went back to it, got through that one part, and actually loved that show. So I'm not above it. I'm just not typically drawn to it. So we'll see.
I'm not into it.
Breaking news from Sports Radio 610 is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
I mean, we can't even get a Friday off. We can't even just enjoy things a little bit, Clint. Maybe have a little fun. We wanted to get to training camp, but no, we can't do that because you want to know why, Clint?
Why is
that? We got moves from the Astros.
Mm.
From the Houston Astros. Shout out to our trusty producer, Tyler Milner. Who sent us this nugget. We have placed left-handed pitcher Brandon Walter on the 15-day IL.
Oh, man.
Due to left elbow inflammation. Retroactive to July 24th to take his place on the active roster, they have recalled right-handed pitcher Nick Hernandez. Left elbow inflammation. And this is Brandon Walter, who has just come off of back-to-back really good starts. He just had the start here recently against the Diamondbacks where he went seven innings and gave up one run, and he had a really good start against the Mariners ahead of that, and now he has gone on the IL. Brandon Walter, Big Red, I know somewhere Ocho is in a really tough place because that has become his favorite guy, but Clint, this gets worse. They just put Lance on the IL with the blister. Maybe they're going to try to rush that blister through. And now they have added him as well. This is rough. More injury issues, especially to the pitching staff that the Astros have to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, we just, in a conversation yesterday about whether the Astros should make a move at the trade deadline. Now, I did not agree with this, but I think it was, who was it, Ocho or one of them, Champ Slice, one of them said that this particular guy was giving him some hope.
Kick rocks. He was giving me some.
He was giving a little bit of hope in terms of some down the stretch pitching here, and here we are today with inflammation in the elbow. Boy, I tell you what,
and then that's the scary part there when you hear elbow.
Yeah, we're already in the range of just the Astros having a serious problem on their hands that probably needs to be investigated. Like the number of arms in this organization,
you ain't kidding,
that are falling apart at this point in time. Like, all joking aside, this can't just be coincidence. Like, I don't know what's going on, but the Astros have quickly gone from a team that, hey, if you want to revive your pitching career or if you want to develop into the best version of yourself from a pitching perspective, go to the Astros. I mean, they're quickly becoming a team that, boy, go to the Astros and your arm's going to fall apart. It's wild to see how many pitchers in particular are going down with major elbow problems.
You're right. There's a two part to this. The part you just talked about of, like, what is going on, right? In this, thus far, right? If this is as bad as an elbow can be, and Clint, whenever you hear inflammation with elbow, like that's the scary thing.
Forearm tightness is next, right?
Yeah, they already have two guys that had Tommy John and Blanco and Wisniewski this year. That's without Garcia. That's without Javier. That's without
Wisniewski.
Not Wisniewski. Yeah, Wisniewski, but Jose. I forgot. He's no longer with the organization, but he blew his elbow out too.
Urquidy.
Jose Urquidy. He as well. And not to mention Verlander, when he was here, had the same issue. This is quickly becoming a thing. And that's the one part. The other part is, this is like, who the hell's the fifth starter now? Right? Like, who's the other starters? You said, bam, okay, Lance goes down, but all right, they still have the big two to go with Brandon Walter, Ryan Gusto, who's pitching tonight, and then Colton Gordon. But now they don't have Brandon Walter. And he was pitching well. Brandon Walter had a 3.35 ERA across 53 and two-thirds innings and had 9 starts for the Astros. Clint, he had gone at least 6 innings and allowed 2 or fewer earned runs in his last 6 of those starts.
Yes.
6 of his 9 starts have been quality starts, and including he had been pitching really well down the stretch.
Well, what we're doing is we're reaching the floor here, Ron.
I thought we had reached it.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about of just available arms. I mean, that's the key is available arms here. You're starting to run out of now. Alexander, obviously, who pitched last night, is one that can step in that role and be your fifth guy. But
maybe, yeah.
I mean, he's got to be.
He's
got to be. So. You do have arms left, but boy, you have got to be at your limit in terms of guys that you just can trust to go out there and at least give you a chance.
And now I will say the other part to this is Christian Javier did pitch yesterday in Sugar Land. Tonight, Spencer Getty will pitch for Corpus tonight. And obviously we also reported yesterday that Garcia and JP France have joined Spencer Arrighetti in Corpus, but that is tough news. Again, if you are just joining us, this is breaking. This is broke here in the last couple of minutes. Brandon Walter, the lefty who had, I think, is one they really probably didn't intend on having to use in the starting rotation, definitely not for 9 starts this year, had been pitching really, really well, back-to-back really good starts. 6 of his 9 starts were quality starts, 6 innings, and less than 3 runs. He is going to the IL with left elbow inflammation. I've heard inflammation too many times this year from the Astros, and they've resorted into setbacks repeatedly from Yordan, and apparently Zach DiZenzo still unable to pick up a bat. So who knows what this means or how long it is with him, but elbow inflammation, not a great sign for a pitcher. And we'll see what happens. Hopefully we'll hear from Joe Espada today as they'll play the A's again later on when he meets with the media. But really, really tough news. Somebody on the text line, Magic, said, damn it, this team is cursed. This is wild. It is. And I think what Clint is saying, which is, I think, a really good point. You got to start. You got to stop thinking and going with just this is cursed or unlucky. Now we're starting to figure out now what is going on that it maybe we don't cover the other teams like this, and maybe this is happening with the Blue Jays. There's another team that I watch closely. I don't believe this is happening with the Royals like this. But you got to be looking at yourself saying, all right, is this just bad? Is this bad luck, or is there something that we are doing here that is seemingly having our pitchers' arms, as you said, fall apart?
Well, this is a two-layered topic here as well, because I mean we laughed about it early on, all the miscommunications, and I'll leave it at that because I don't know really what was going on behind doors, but the miscommunications about injuries, the inability to simply communicate or simply say we're not going to talk about that, we're not going to comment on it, you know, that side of it leads you to believe that all of the guys that are position players that are injured and the Astros' inability to rehab them and get them back and to give sound advice about where they're at and kind of how their rehab is going is one thing. The other side of it is the pitchers, the number of pitchers that are specifically having arm issues. You know, what's going on there within what the Astros are doing on a daily basis with these pitchers? What's going on there that's causing all these issues? I don't know the ins and outs of a daily routine for a pitcher, so I have no clue what that consists of. I know that it's happening more often here with the Astros, and you're already starting to hear some of the comments about, hey man, what are the Astros doing that are hurting all these guys? And we're talking pitchers now. This plays into that narrative and just makes that voice a little bit louder.
Yeah. Tough situation there for the Astros. All right, we'll get into day three of training camp a little bit. There's some things that I think I want to get to here in a bit. But just overall for you, Clint, day three. Today was really kind of a light thing, more of a walkthrough practice. Today the pads will be coming on Monday, Clint. At first there was a thought that it might be on tomorrow as there's an open practice with the fans, but they will wait till Monday to put on the pads. By the way, when you were at when you were in camp in Dallas in Miami, how quickly did the pads come on? Did you all wait?
No. The very first day.
No, first day?
Absolutely.
100%. First day in
pads? No question. Full pants? No question about it. Now, it may not have been full pads. May have been halves and just no pants, ultimately, which guys don't wear pads nowadays in the damn game, so it was ultimately what they were in the game now. But, yeah, they were on immediately. Ron, I'm going to tell you, man, this is wild. How good do these guys have it currently? We have watched 2 1-hour and 20-minute practices Wednesday and Thursday from 9 to 11. It was a little warm out there, but it wasn't the peak temp of the day or anything. They're in and out, man. And then today it is
inside, baby.
Inside sweats. And I think it's generous to call it a jog through. The receivers had to jog a little bit because they had to go further, but I think it's generous. I mean, it was an accelerated walkthrough, no helmets, no pads whatsoever, walkthrough for about an hour 10. We're 3 days into camp. I mean, it is unbelievable and I guess when you're a coach or a general manager, I guess you have to embrace it. You can't push back just because you're an older school guy. But I mean, we are literally, these guys are referring to the first four practices of training camp as acclimation ramp up period.
That's right, baby.
I mean, that blows my mind. I think it's great for the offense. I think it's great for the quarterback. But wow. I mean, you talk about a level of just zero sense of urgency.
Emmett would have played 20 years.
Oh, my God. I mean, you got to be kidding me. And it's wild, man. And I know that the response.
Hour 10. How long was those practices at Wichita, in Wichita Falls?
Oh, I mean, you was knocking on 2 hours. I mean, it wasn't so much as it, but I mean, it was full pads. It was a lot more physicality involved. It was outside in the heat. It was probably 20 to 30 minutes longer, and it you did it twice a day. I mean, these cats, I guess, are walking through in the evening at some point in time, I guess. They were talking about yesterday. I heard them talking about yesterday.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, that is wild. I do wonder, because I think it's great for the offense, and I'll be honest with you, with this team, it's probably better suited for this team because it's great for the offense, and I don't think D'Amico's defense needs to be, like, trained in a physical training camp. Like, those dogs bite. I'm not worried about that. But just overall, you wonder of, like, are there teams out there that are going, we're going to have a more physical camp and we're going to be a more physical football team the first 6 weeks of the season than anybody else out there? How does that bump up? How does what Houston's doing bump up against that kind of approach? We'll see.
Yeah. All right, coming up as we continue, we're learning a lot of different things about this team, especially the head man, D'Amico Ryans. And one thing we are starting to see, he is delegating more. And what does that mean overall from his first two seasons? We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's Texans Training Camp. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. Again, if you missed the breaking news, Brandon Walter, he is going to the IL, the second pitcher this week, going to the IL. I want to give Hunter and Framber another week off then, I guess. Shoot, man. Get them another week off, man. Brandon Walter has left elbow inflammation after he's had a really good start here. Great start. 7 innings, 1 run against Arizona. And he backed that up with his previous start to kick off. He started off the second half. And he went 6 innings, 1 run against the Mariners. He is going on the IL. And now he becomes the 18th, I believe, 18th member.
Mm.
On the
about 10 of our pitchers, ain't they?
Yeah, feels like it. And Paredes, who apparently may be months. So, a tough one. They add Lance earlier this week, and now Brandon Walter goes as well. And as Clint said, the guess would be the young man who pitched yesterday, Jason Alexander, will take his spot for now. But, Clint, they are 7 days away from the trade deadline. Yeah. Seattle's making moves. They go and get a big slugger in Josh Naylor, and they're trying to add Suarez from the Diamondbacks, who's got 36 home runs. So potentially, it seems like there's going to be a move, going to need to be a move made from Dana Brown.
Well, if the Lance McCullers move created a little bit more sense of urgency for the Astros at the trade deadline, this one damn sure does, because now. I mean, you're not just talking about, hey man, we need a third starter in this rotation, and we don't want to put all of our eggs in the Spencer Arrigetti return or Lance McCullers return to form, right? So what are you going to do? Or Christian Javier return to form. So what are you going to do? Well, hell, I mean, we're now talking about, I mean, how are you going to get through 162? Now, Lance obviously is a blister. He's going to be back. He can help you chew some innings. We don't know the significance of this injury. And as you mentioned, there's three pitchers, hell, if not more, that are right there on the verge of being able to at the very least chew some innings.
Maybe, yeah.
But how do you get through? Luckily, you got one of the best records in the AL, and you got the lead. You got the luxury of having this lead in the division where you've got some level of, at least you can have some level of comfort in making these decisions. But I still think the Astros at the trade deadline has to, they got to be aggressive and get that. And get a big arm in here.
Yep, 5-game lead in the division right now.
That's right, because you lost last night. Yep. I forgot. Yep. That's right, you played last night.
Yep, 5-game lead.
Oops.
Yep, Jason Alexander had to pitch. Mm-hmm. All right. As we said, man, pretty calm day, walkthrough day, short practice indoors for the Texans. But we did get to hear from the coordinators, some of the assistant coaches, including defensive coordinator Matt Burke. This is his third year as the DC. And we have been seeing D'Amico paying a lot more attention to the offensive side of the ball, and in particular paying more attention to the O-line, which means you would imagine that things may be a little bit more on the plate of Matt Burke. Here is Matt Burke addressing maybe a little bit more how his role is potentially changing?
Yeah, I think he's just going through everything right now. Like, we spent some time talking about just divvying up how we do the staff things, you know what I mean? How what area each guy is responsible for. You know, I'll give Coach a lot of credit. Like, he's a believer in and committed to, like, developing coaches as much as players. And so just, hey, giving guys opportunities to be in front of the whole room, right? Usually it's a coordinator or head coach talking to the whole defense or the whole team, like, and he finds ways to get, no, hey, like, you're going to present this to the whole team. Like, stand up there and have that moment and be able to connect with guys and sort of switch duties around to, like, give guys different roles to live in. So I think it's part of his belief system of, like, who he is as a coach and what he wants to accomplish. It's not about just developing the players and getting them better. It's about developing coaches and helping them move on in their career. So he does a really good job of just, like, providing opportunities for guys to kind of do different things or have expanded roles so that they can kind of grow in those roles.
All right, that's Matt Burke talking about a little bit of shift in potential shift, especially I think for him with D'Amico doing more delegating because he's maybe putting more time and effort over on the other side of the ball, Clint. But it looks like his role might be growing a bit.
Well, look, everything that Matt Burke just mentioned.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Is the part of D'Amico delegating that I'm not worried about. Like, that's cool. I mean, I like the fact that he's into developing human beings and not just football players and young men. He's into developing. Everybody that comes in that building is going to leave a better version of themselves and knowing more about themselves and pushing their limits. I appreciate that. But as a fan, I'm more concerned with, hey, D'Amico Ryans. I watched it today. D'Amico Ryans is spending a lot of time watching the offense instead of calling defense and coaching defense and being in the huddle and holding guys accountable. So Matt Burke, if you've ever had your time in the sun, if you will, the spotlight, I think, is on him more so than it has been as a Houston Texan. I don't know. I fully expect D'Amico Ryans to call defense.
Yeah.
But beyond just standing up in the front of the meeting and talking, I would imagine that Matt Burke is going to have a much more of an impact on what this defense ends up looking like because D'Amico Ryans is spending so much time on the offense. Well, D'Amico, let's be honest, D'Amico Ryans is spending time, developing himself as a head coach, which I actually love, by the way. I'm not, he has done exactly what we as fans should want him to do. You come in here, you rejuvenate the program, you rebuild the program, you build a defense that's kick ass from jump. They've gotten better ever since he got here. They're one of the best in the league. Okay, now D'Amico has done what DC D'Amico needed to do over 2 years. Now the head coach D'Amico needs to make sure, as I've said a million times, that physicality in your offensive line is not a problem. That your quarterback doesn't, your quarterback not being able to communicate to protect himself all year long is not a problem. Like, all those things have to be D'Amico fixed and have to be D'Amico traits, if you will, moving forward in the Houston Texans organization. And so I do wonder how much of that D'Amico, as he becomes more and more of the head coach on a day-to-day basis, I know the offense is going to be better because of it. What does that mean to Matt Burke, and how does that affect the defense on a daily basis if D'Amico isn't the one hovering over? Because there's no – look, I know the text line there is – I'm asking the question. Because there's no question about it, no doubt about it, that it is different when the head coach is barking down your throat, your neck every single day, then he backs off, and now you got a longer leash, and he's over here paying attention to the offense. It's different, and how will it affect our Texans?
But I think D'Amico is doing the right thing, and I understand it because Clint,
agreed.
He has what they have built, especially on that side of the ball, and Matt Burke, you can trust, has been a coordinator before, but what they have built, Clint, they have built themselves on that side of the ball where this is a group that holds itself accountable, that knows what they're doing, year three in the defense, that's veteran laden, right? Like this is a group in which D'Amico has built it right now in year three that he should be able to afford to go over and check that out, because Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson and Azeez Alshire and C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Jalen Petrie and like all of those guys that are over there, he should be able to be, you know, not that he's just completely done with them, right? But he should be able to feel confident to be able to slide over there, because that group's ready.
Agreed. He should feel comfortable taking his hands off the steering wheel and letting him catch ride. No question about it. I agree wholeheartedly. I just wonder the Matt Burke impact, and if we see, you know, any kind of change.
Yeah, well,
slippage, or it may be better. It may overall it'll probably be better, because D'Amico is addressing on a daily basis. At least he's got his eyes on addressing the major problems of the previous year. So I think overall we're going to be better, but that defensive unit, we'll see.
All right, Dana Brown, the general manager. This was reported, or he said this. He said this prior to the latest injury announcement. I wonder, does this statement, I'll tell you this statement when we get back on the other side, I wonder, does this statement change with the recent news to Brandon Walter? We'll discuss that next.
It's Texans Training Camp. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Text line coming through, Clint. I blame the offensive problems for the last 2 years on the head coach because he wasn't being a head coach, and now that's changing finally.
Well, I don't know if blame's the right word there, but the overall point is look, D'Amico Ryans came in as a defensive-minded head coach, and when you hire that, the risk is that you don't get the offensive coordinator right. And he brought in a guy that he was very familiar with, that had never done this before, had never managed people before, and you had one good year, and it seems like, you know, the managing people part of it may have bit Bobby Slowick in the ass. And in hindsight, D'Amico got the first one wrong. Had to fire him, you know, probably should have been inside 2 years, but had to fire him after two seasons. And so, you know, I think
that's the only thing that I would say. I would, like, if it was as bad as it feels like we're hearing it's as bad, then I would say maybe a move should have been made.
Well, yeah, moves should have been made. I believe that in hindsight, I think D'Amico would probably tell you. I think he's too strong behind Laramie Tunsil, and gave Laramie, like, he should have set the standard with Laramie Tunsil out of the gate, and known, hey, this offensive line is going to take on the mentality of this guy right here. Do I really want that? I mean, look, hindsight's 20/20. We can sit around and talk about it, and that's what our job is right now. But to the texter, yeah, it all falls at the feet of D'Amico Ryans. Hell, I've been saying that forever, and I'm getting beat up about it. I mean, at the end of the day, whatever happens on the offensive side of the football is a D'Amico Ryans problem, period, point blank. You can blame it on Bobby. You can blame it on now Nick. You can blame it on CJ's inexperience, but it's going to fall at the feet of D'Amico Ryans, and I don't think he has a problem with that.
Blame is a little tough. Yeah, they did go from bringing in a whole new team and offense, a brand new rookie quarterback, to winning 10 games 2 years in a
absolutely.
Row. You blame him for the eighth place MVP finish that he had as well? Are you blaming him that? So I think blame is strong. I take it back a little bit. I do think it is on him that whatever communication issues, things like that happened between the offensive staff and the quarterback, something was up. I do think that is him on the head coach.
Absolutely.
I do think that part you could look at and say, you know, he is the head coach. He's ultimately the guy. And if there's just absolute what feels like there was communication issues, so much so that, you know, it messed up things with the offense. I'll give you that on him, and maybe that's what the texter is talking about can change, because he is going to be more involved over there.
Yeah, look, I think it is. I love what D'Amico's doing. I've said this before, and Nick falls in this as well. I love the way that there is a sense of urgency to make decisions and move on from people. It wasn't easy to move on from Laremy Tunsil. It was not easy for D'Amico Ryans to walk into Bobby Slowick's office and say, hey, man, your time's up, bro. I got to make a move. Like, that stuff's not easy. And I think it's more human nature, and we see it happen in this business a lot, is just give him one more year, man. We're going to give him one more year. We're going to give him one more year. D'Amico and Nick do not believe in this one more year stuff. If there's a problem, nip it in the bud and move on, right? There was a problem. He nipped it in the bud. He's moving on. And right now, the head coach D'Amico is damn sure going to keep an eye on what's going on the offensive side of the football. He's not going to make the mistake that this year that he made 2 years ago. And he had to make the mistake 2 years ago because he had to focus on the defense. He had to get the defense right. He had to make sure that hiring D'Amico Ryans first and foremost meant you were going to have a top-tier defense. He had to get that right. Right. So I'm not blaming him. I'm just simply saying that is over with. It's a different dynamic in Houston now, right? He had to turn the keys over to Bobby Slowick and let Bobby Slowick decide what his offensive line coach was going to do. What was run scheme was he going to run? You know, what was he going to do with CJ Stroud? It's a different dynamic in Houston right now. And D'Amico is, it looks like from the outside looking in, D'Amico is bound and determined not to make the same mistake and turn the entire offense over to a guy that's never done it before.
Dana Brown, the general manager for the Astros, said this on the flagship for the Astros, Clint, that the Astros are prioritizing the bats as the trade deadline nears, is what general manager Dana Brown had to say. And Clint, I will say that was Thursday, prior to the news that we just broke to start the show, which was Brandon Walter, the second pitcher in the week of the week to go on, starting pitcher to go on the IL. They have made that decision to place him on the IL. I got to believe that's got to be changing. I just got to believe that's got to be changing. And I'm not saying it's not a need and that can't be something that they go and look after too, but I mean, a priority's got to be pitching right now.
Here's the deal. They're privy to a lot more information than we are. And here's the thing. If Yordan Alvarez is, if they don't have a high level of confidence that he's going to be back and he's going to be back and be able to be Yordan again fairly quickly, and I say fairly quickly within, let's call it a month, all right, and which will give him time to ramp up and get ready for the playoffs. If they don't have a high level of confidence in that, then they've got problems. If they don't have a high level of confidence that this hamstring issue with Isak Paredes is going to be handled and he'll be back sooner rather than later, let's call it a month, right? Then the Astros have serious issues. You know, those are the two bats for me right now and Jeremy Pena, which is oblique, has turned into a month long, right? At least it feels like a month. Right,
the rib, broken rib.
Is that what it was? Broken ribs? I thought it was an oblique.
That's right, man. There's obliques everywhere. There's been a couple of obliques.
Well, yeah, that's right. He did have the broken ribs. But nonetheless, like those three guys, you got to have a high level of confidence that they're going to come back in enough time to be able to hit stride to help you make a run. If you don't, then I would agree that the bats are going to be the bats need to be priority as well. Not individually, but as well. As the pitching, I just don't know how you make a run with just Hunter and Fromber being the top two dogs that you can depend on.
Yeah,
I guess it can happen. We've seen it happen before, but whew.
But the part that you're saying is they do have more info than we do. But even with the info that they have, Clint, it is a wonder to me if this is something where they're like, yeah, we feel that comfortable to say, man, we're going to trust that Javier, Spencer Arrigetti are going to be what we need. Like we're gonna trust that they're gonna be there. They're gonna be able to give you the innings that you need. They're gonna be able to be a third starter for the postseason. And for me, I think this team is in a better spot than it was last year. I think their chances to win the American League are probably better this year. And they went out and made the move to get Kikuchi last year. So I'd be kind of disappointed if they didn't go out and make another move this year.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
To go and add to this rotation that is in desperate need. Because, hell, man, you don't, I mean, who's, I mean, you hope to God nobody else is next. But, I mean, that's the thing is, all right, we're going bat first. And we feel so confident that all the other dudes are going to be there and ready and right.
Yeah.
They're ready and right to pitch, right? Like, available and then not, like, right now, like, Lance McCullers has been available before this blister, but has he been right?
I can't even take that serious, by the way. I'm doing everything I can to be nice. But damn,
you don't think he has a blister?
I mean, he's on the IL. No, I think he has a blister. A 15-day IL with a damn blister on your finger?
Yeah, that's what
I mean, all that? He does is spin it. How? I mean, this is going to be a problem every
before,
time.
Before a pitcher, I think they want him to miss a couple starts. So that
come on, man.
That's 15 days.
A damn blister?
Yeah, man. Depending on where it is, man, it'll be very problematic.
Yeah, I mean, so how the hell is he going to help us down a stretch here? Every two starts, he's going to have a blister.
But that's what I mean. Is like either you got hey Gusto like or Colton Gordon's probably good, but is he right? Do you trust him to pitch in Comerica or at home against the Rays or whoever it is that would be a playoff opponent? I don't know. I don't know that I feel that. I know that the hitter that ooh, they've got to be looking at pitching. It just seems like they're losing the guy a week at this point. All right, a guy who we have been hearing talked about on a regular basis, and now I think it's more than just talking up your own guy. I think you got to take it as legit. We'll discuss that coming up next right here live on the Drive.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.